Hello and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune and this is part one of Let's Get Invisible by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. The cover of this one has a kid and he's looking in the mirror and the bottom half of him is turning invisible like Marty McFly's brother in Back to the Future, right? And it says, now you see him, now you don't. Now I'm going to Photoshop the fuck out of this one and put myself in the cover. If you're not on the Facebook, or occasionally I post them on Instagram, Facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps, Instagram is Dune_M. Anyway, I often Photoshop the covers of each book I do to include myself and the pets. And the last one had the girlfriend too. So that's something I do for no reason that's marginally narcissistic. If not completely. Anyway, do I need to get to anything else? No, I'm all right. Chapter 1 of Let's Get Invisible by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I went invisible for the first time on my 12th birthday. It was all Whitey's fault. Oh, there's another black character blaming everything on Whitey. In a way, Whitey is my dog. Okay, before we get too confused right off the bat, 1G on dog. So he's not like a black person that's down with Whitey. Whitey's an actual animal, and the kid's probably white too, because R.L. Stein has a hard time writing for African Americans, and I have a hard time reading for them, so it works out fine. He's just a mutt. Part terrier, part everything else. He's all black, so of course, we named him Whitey. If Whitey hadn't been sniffing around the attic, well, maybe I'd better back up a bit and start at the beginning. He's been doing that a lot lately, hasn't he, with the storytelling, bouncing around a little bit. I get it, RL, I'm into it, except for it confuses me when I pick up later and we're in, like, another time. My birthday was on a rainy Saturday. It was a few minutes before kids would start arriving for my birthday party, so I was getting ready. Getting ready means brushing my hair. Wink. My brother is always on my case about my hair. He gives me a hard time because I spend so much time in front of the mirror brushing it and checking it out. The thing is, I just happen to have great hair. It's very thick and sort of a golden brown and just a little bit wavy. My hair is my best feature, so I like to make sure it looks okay. Unlike Dune's hair, which looks like Kramer and a kid from House Party. And, it's pretty ridiculous. And somehow in 80s, Morrissey Pompadour. Also, I have very big ears. They stick out like a motherfucker. So, I have to keep making sure that my hair covers my ears. It's important because I'm a child and I don't have real things to find important in my life. Max, it's messed up in the back. My brother Lefty said, standing behind me, as I studied my hair in the front hall mirror. His name is really Noah, but I call him Lefty because he's the only left-handed person in our family. Most likely because Mom slept with a left-handed dude behind Dad's back. Mom's such a skank. Lefty was tossing a softball up and catching it in his, get this listeners, left hand. He knew he wasn't supposed to toss that softball around in the house, but he always did it anyway. Lefty is 2 years younger than me. He's not a bad guy, but he has too much energy. He always has to be tossing around a ball, drumming his hands on the table, hitting something, running around, beating off, falling down, doing blow, leaping into things, wrestling with me. You get the idea. Dad says that Lefty has ants in his pants. It's really just scabies. It's a dumb expression, but it sort of does describe my brother. I turned and twisted my neck to see the back of my hair. It is not messed up, liar, I said. Think fast, Lefty shouted, and tossed the softball at me. I made a grab for it and missed. It hit the wall just below the mirror with a loud thud. Lefty and I held our breath, waiting to see if Mom heard the sound, but she didn't due to Valium. I think she was in the kitchen doing something to the birthday cake. That was dumb, I whispered to Lefty. You almost broke the mirror. You're dumb, he said. Typical. Why don't you learn to throw right-handed? Then maybe I could catch it sometimes. I told him. I like to tease my brother about being left-handed because he really hated it. What a bizarre thing to tease someone about. You stink, he said, picking up the softball. Now that's a legitimate reason to tease someone. I was used to it. He said it 100 times a day. I guess he thought it was really clever or some shit. He's a good kid for a 10-year-old, but he doesn't have much of a vocabulary, like R.L. Stein. Your ears are sticking out, he said. I knew he was lying. I started to answer him, but the doorbell rang. Do 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 do. He and I raced down the narrow hallway to the front door. Hey, it's my party, I told him, but Lefty got to the door first and pulled it open. My best friend, Zach, with a K, pulled open the screen door and hurried into the house. It was starting to rain pretty hard, and he was already soaked. He handed me a present wrapped in a silver paper, raindrops dripping off it. It's a bunch of comic books, he said. I already read them. The X-Force graphic novel is kind of cool. This is not R.L. Stein's first X-Force reference. Why does he like X-Force? I guess because it's the 90s and everyone had horrible taste. Oh, suck on that, Cable. Thanks, I said. They don't look too wet. Lefty grabbed the present from my hand and ran into the living room with it. Don't open it, bitch, I shouted. He said he was just starting a pile. Doop, doop, doop. Zach took off his red Sox cap, and I got a look at his new haircut. God, this kid's going to be like that guy from Anthony something, the Bravo show. The one that says he's not gay, and he keeps saying he's not gay, but everyone knows he's gay. Wow, you look different, I said, studying his new look. His black hair was buzzed real short on the left side. The rest of it was long, brushed straight to the right. Did you invite girls? He asked me. Or is it just boys? Wink! Some girls are coming, I told him. Aaron and April. Maybe my cousin Deborah. I knew he liked Deborah. He nodded thoughtfully. Zach has a real serious face. He has these little blue eyes that always look far away, like he's thinking real hard about something, like he's real deep. He's sort of an intense guy. How intense can a 12-year-old be? Not nervous, just keyed up and very competitive. He has to win at everything. If he comes in second place, he gets all pissed off and shit and kicks the furniture and pees his pants like a little fag. You know the kind of kid. What are we going to do? Zach asked, shaking the water off his Red Sox cap. I shrugged. We were supposed to be in the backyard. Dad put the volleyball net up this morning, but that was before it started to rain. I rented some movies. Not movies. Movies. I'm just saying, that's what he meant to say. Maybe we'll watch them. The doorbell rang. Lefty appeared again from out of nowhere, pushed Zach and me out of the way and made a dive for the door. Oh, it's you, I heard him say. Thanks for the welcome. I recognize Aaron's squeaky voice. Some kids call her Aaron Mouse because of that voice. And because she's tiny, like a mouse. She has short, straight blonde hair, and I think she's cute. But of course, I'd never tell anyone that. Because that would be embarrassing, huh, Franklin? Franklin? Are you really sleeping through this? My dog is right next to me and fully asleep. Except I shoved him to wake him up so he'd pay attention to me. I need immediate reactions, Franklin. Can I come in? I recognized April's voice next. April is the other girl in our group. She has curly black hair and dark, sad eyes. I always thought she was really sad. Eh, what's up, sad girl? But then I figured out that she's just shy. The party's tomorrow, I heard Lefty tell them. Huh? Both girls uttered cries of surprise. No, it isn't, I shouted. I stepped into the doorway and shoved Lefty out of the way. I pushed open the screen door so Aaron and April could come in. You know Lefty's little jokes, I said, squeezing my brother against the wall. Lefty is a little joke, Aaron said. You're stupid, Lefty told her. I pressed him against the wall a little harder, leaning against him with all my weight. But he ducked down and scooted away like a dog with worms. Happy birthday, April said, shaking the rain from her curly hair. She handed me a present wrapped in Christmas wrapping paper. It's the only paper we had, she explained, seeing me staring at it. Merry Christmas to you, too, I joked. The present felt like a CD. I forgot your present, Aaron said. What is it? I asked, following the girls into the living room. I don't know. I haven't bought it yet. Come on, no one likes you. Lefty grabbed April's present out of my hand and ran to put it on top of Zach's present in the corner behind the couch. Aaron plopped down on the white leather ottoman in front of the armchair. April stood at the window staring at the rain. We were gonna barbecue hot dogs, I said. They'd be pretty soggy today. Good stuff, April. Lefty stood behind the couch, tossing his softball up and catching it with one hand. You're gonna break that lamp, I warned him. He ignored me, of course. Who else is coming to your lame party? Aaron asked. Before I could answer, the doorbell rang again. Lefty and I raced to the door. He tripped over his own sneaks and went skidding down the hall on his stomach. So typical. I changed sneakers to sneaks. That's, once again, you've been noticed I've been saying axed and stuff and birthday. That's all part of my scheme to appeal to the urban audience. By 2:30, everyone had arrived. What, 2:30? Did they arrive at the dentist? 2:30? 15 kids in all, and the party got started. Well, it didn't really get started because we couldn't decide what to do. I wanted to watch the Terminator movie I'd rented, but the girls wanted to play Twister. Dude, do you know what that means? I'm doing that thing where I put my index finger through a loop on my other hand made of my thumb and index finger to symbolize sex. It's my birthday, I insisted like a terrible host. We compromised. We played Twister, then watched some of the Terminator video until it was time to eat. It was a pretty good party. Doesn't sound like it. I think everyone had an okay time. Even April seemed to be having fun. She was usually really quiet and nervous looking at parties. Lefty spilled his Coke. Oh, I guess the party wasn't so bad, am I right? And ate his slice of chocolate birthday cake with his hands because he thought it was funny. But he was the only animal in the group. I told him the only reason he was invited was because he was in the family, and there was nowhere else we could stash him. He replied by opening his mouth up real wide so everyone could see his chewed up chocolate cake inside. That fool looked like he had doo-doo in his mouth. After I opened presents, I put the Terminator movie back on, but everyone started to leave. I guess it was about 5 o'clock, and it looked much later. It was dark as night out, still stormy. My parents were in the kitchen cleaning up. Aaron and April were the only ones left. Aaron's mother was supposed to pick them up, but you know how she is, glug glug. She called and said she'd be a little late. Ooh, long-ass chapter. Whitey was standing at the living room window, barking his head off. I looked outside. I didn't see anyone there. I grabbed him with both hands and wrestled him away from the window. Let's go up to my room, I suggested when I finally got the dumb dog quiet. I got a new Super Nintendo game I want to try. Ooh. Aaron and April gladly followed me upstairs. They didn't like the Terminator movie for some reason. Because they're broads that want to play Twister, but they'll luckily go upstairs. Jesus. Someone just knock on my door? I gotta go check. No, sorry, I have a new neighbor that I'm sure can hear me reading Goosebumps, and I'm like, I wonder if she's super curious as to why I'm yelling things. But then again, I've moved numerous times since doing this, and every new neighbor has to deal with me singing chapter numbers. The upstairs hallway was pitch black. I clicked the light switch on, but the overhead light didn't come on. The cheat must have been playing with the switch, huh? Yeah? The bulb must have burned out, I said. Look at... He's already got mood lighting going on. My room was at the end of the hall. We made our way slowly through the darkness. It's kind of spooky up here, April said quietly. And just as she said it, the linen closet door swung open and, with a deafening howl, a dark figure leapt out at us. Also, I am still on my only drinking tequila kick for the most part, but I'm down to one lime left. And I could just drink it straight, but I want to be relaxing and not, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, the point is I just had a cocktail before recording, but I'm not back on him, I swear. You can trust me, dear listeners. All right, switched back to tequila. Chapter number 2. As the girls cried out in horror, The howling creature grabbed me around the waist and wrestled me to the floor.
Lefty, let go!
I screamed angrily. You're not funny. He was laughing like a lunatic. He thought he was a riot, like Mac's shirt.
Gotcha,
he cried. I gotcha good.
We weren't even scared,
Aaron insisted.
We knew it was you.
Then why'd you scream? Lefty asked. Aaron didn't have an answer. I shoved him off me and climbed to my feet. That was dumb, Lefty.
How long were you waiting in the linen closet?
April asked. A long time, Lefty told her.
He started to get up, but Whitey ran up to him and began furiously licking his face. It tickled so much, Lefty fell onto his back laughing.
You scared Whitey too, I said.
No, I didn't.
Whitey's smarter than you guys. Lefty pushed Whitey away. Why does Lefty, the little kid that's like 10, seem smarter than all these people?
Whitey began sniffing at the door next to away.
Whitey began sniffing at the door across the hall.
Where does that door lead, Max?
Aaron asked.
To the attic, I told her. You have an attic?
Aaron cried, like it was some kind of big deal.
What's up there? I love attics.
Are attics weird? I had attics growing up, but I didn't have basements, because we don't have, like, what? Tornadoes? Is that why you need basements? Or they just not do it in California? I think, like, two people ever that had basements, and they were rad as fuck. You just hang out in the basement, it's all dank and cool. Smoke dank, be cool.
Huh?
I squinted at her in the dark. Sometimes girls are really weird. I mean, how could anyone love attics?
Just a lot of old junks my grandparents left, I told her.
The house used to be theirs. Mom and Dad stored a lot of their stuff in the attic. We hardly ever go up there.
Can we go up and take a look?
Aaron asked. I guess, I said.
I don't think it's too big a thrill or anything.
I love old junk, Aaron said, winking at a portrait of my dad in the hallway.
But it's so dark,
April said softly. I think she was a little scared. I opened the door and reached for the light switch just inside. A ceiling light clicked on in the attic. It cast a pale yellow light down at us as we stared up at the steep wooden stairs.
See? There's light up there, I told April. I started up the stairs. They creaked under my sneakers.
My shadow was really long.
You coming?
Aaron's mom will be here any minute, April said.
We'll just go up for a second. Don't be such a bitch. You know how my mom is. She's at the bar right now, trying to find me a new daddy,
Aaron said. She gave April a gentle push.
Come on. Up in the attic? This that's our time. Down there, that's their time. Goonies never say die!
Whitey trotted past us as we climbed the stairs, his tail wagging excitedly. His toenails clicked loudly on the wooden steps. About halfway up, the air grew hot and dry, like grandpa farts. I stopped on the top step and looked around. The attic stretched on both sides. It was one long room filled with old furniture, cardboard cartons, old clothes, hooker bodies, fishing rods, stacks of yellow magazines, all kinds of junk.
Ugh, it smells like taint,
Aaron said, moving past me and taking a few steps into the vast space. She took a deep breath. I love that smell. By the way, I didn't know she was going to say I love that smell and make it bizarre. She said it smells so musty. I changed it to taint. I'm sorry. You're definitely weird, I told her.
Rain drummed loudly against the roof. The sound echoed through the low room, a steady roar. It sounded as if we were inside of a waterfall.
We did not stick to the rivers or the lakes that we were used to. All four of us began walking around, exploring.
Sexploring.
Lefty kept tossing his softball up against the ceiling rafters, then catching it as it came down. I noticed that April stayed close to Aaron. Whitey was sniffing furiously along the wall. Can Whitey do anything that isn't furious? Right, R.L. Stine? You know? Pick a new adjective, asshole. I'm sorry I called you an asshole. I appreciate your work.
I think there are mice up here, Lefty asked.
Think there are mice up here? Lefty asked, a devilish grin across his face. I saw April's eyes go wide.
Big fat mice who like to climb up girls' legs?
Lefty teased. My kid brother has a great sense of humor.
Could we go now?
April asked impatiently. She started back down toward the stairway.
Look at these old magazines,
Aaron exclaimed, ignoring her. She picked up one and started flipping through it.
Check this out! These clothes, the models, and fucking, this is a riot.
She said like a retard. The clothes these models are wearing are a riot.
Hey, what's Whitey doing?
Lefty asked suddenly. I followed his gaze to the far wall behind a stack of cartons. I could see Whitey's tail wagging, and I could hear him scratching furiously at something, really furiously again.
Whitey, come!
I commanded. Of course he ignored me. He began scratching harder.
Whitey, what are you scratching at?
Probably pulling a mouse apart, Lefty suggested.
I'm out of here,
April exclaimed.
Whitey,
I called, stepping around an old dining room table. I made my way across the cluttered attic. I quickly saw he was scratching at the bottom of a door.
Hey, look,
I called to the others.
Whitey found a hidden door.
Cool, Aaron cried, having never seen Evil Dead 1, 2, or the remake. Lefty and April were right behind.
I didn't know this was up here,
I said.
We've got to check it out, Aaron urged. Let's see what's on the other side.
And that's when all the trouble began.
You can understand why I say it was all Whitey's fault, right? If that dumb dog hadn't started sniffing and scratching there, we might have never found the hidden attic room.
Hey, maybe if you weren't born, you wouldn't have a birthday, asshole.
And we never would have discovered the exciting and frightening secret behind the wooden door.
Ooh, that's a much better book title.
Chapter number 3. Whitey!
I knelt down and pulled the dog away from the door.
What's your problem, doggy?
As soon as I moved him aside, Whitey lost all interest in the door. He trotted off and started sniffing another corner.
Talk about your short attention span, but I guess that's the difference between dogs and people.
Yeah, apparently you don't have a smartphone yet, which ruins all shreds of attention span. I have got so close to shitting myself because I've run back to get my phone.
The rain continued to pound down, a steady roar just above our heads. I could hear the wind whistling around the corner of the house.
It was a real spring storm. The door had a rusted latch about halfway up. It slid off easily, and the warped wooden door started to swing open before I even pulled at it.
The door hinges squeaked as I pulled the door toward me, revealing solid darkness on the other side.
Before I had gotten the door halfway open,
Lefty scooted under me and darted into the dark room. A dead body! He shrieked. No!
April and Aaron both cried with squeals of terror, but I knew Lefty's dumb sense of humor.
Nice try, Lefty, I said, and followed him through the doorway. The boy who cried corpse. Of course, he was just goofing.
I found myself in a small, windowless room.
This is his parents' weird sex dungeon.
The only light came from the pale yellow ceiling light behind us in the center of the attic.
Push the door all the way open so the light can get in, I instructed Aaron. I can't see a thing in here.
Aaron pushed the door open and slid a carton over it to hold it in place. Then she and April crept in and joined Lefty and me.
It's too big to be a closet, Aaron said, her voice sounding even squeakier than usual. So what is it?
Just a room, I guess. Very insightful, I said, still waiting for my eyes to adjust to the dim light.
I'm pretty sure this is the room that the guy gets pulled apart in the first Hellraiser movie. Then they have to kill people in the room so the house eats the blood and then he can come back. Huh?
My girlfriend is literally in L.A. right now because she was going to a Clive Barker art exhibit. She apparently bought two more pieces, so now she has four pieces of Clive Barker original art, which is both good and sad because it's worth a fuck ton of money, I guess, because he's probably going to die soon. That's a huge bummer. Just a room, I guess, I said, still waiting for my eyes to adjust to the dim light. I took another step into the room, and as I did, a dark figure stepped toward me. I screamed and jumped back. The other person jumped back, too. It's a mirror, dork, Lefty said, and started to laugh. Instantly, all four of us were laughing. Nervous, high-pitched laughter. Like Urkel! It was a mirror in front of us, and the pale yellow light filtering into the small square room, I could see it clearly now. It was a big rectangular mirror, about 2 feet taller than me, with a dark wood frame. It rested on a wooden base.
This is where J.K. Rowling stole the, what's that mirror's name? Harry Potter? It's some word spelled backwards. It sees, you can see what you want to see, you know? I would just see me taking a nap.
I moved closer to it, and my reflection moved once again to greet me. To my surprise, the reflection was clear. No dust on the glass, despite the fact that no one had been in here in ages. I stepped in front of it and checked out my hair. I mean, that's what mirrors are for, right? Who would put a mirror in a room all by itself? Aaron asked, having not known who Dumbledore was. I could see her dark reflection in the mirror a few feet behind me. Maybe it's a valuable piece of furniture or something, I said, reaching into my jeans pocket for my comb. You know, an antique. Did your parents put it up here? Aaron asked. I don't know, I replied. Maybe it belonged to my grandparents. I just don't know. I ran the comb through my hair a few times like a douche. Can we go now? This isn't too thrilling, April said. She was still lingering reluctantly in the doorway. Maybe it's a carnival mirror, Lefty said, pushing me out of the way and making faces into the mirror, bringing his face just inches from the glass. You know, one of those funhouse mirrors that make your body look like it's shaped like Snooki. You're already shaped like Snooki, I joked, pushing him aside. And besides, she wants to be called Nicole Pelosi now. She wants to put that Snooki stuff behind her. Don't you listen to the Podcast One ads? Sorry. You're already shaped like an egg, I joked, pushing him aside. At least your head is. You're a rotten egg, he snapped back. You stink. I peered into the mirror. I looked perfectly normal, not distorted at all. Hey, April, come in, I urged. You're blocking most of the light. Can't we just leave? She asked, whining. Reluctantly, she moved from the doorway, taking a few steps into the room. Who cares about an old mirror anyway? Hey, look, I said, pointing. I had spotted a light attached to the top of the mirror. It was oval-shaped, made of brass or some other kind of brassy metal. The bulb was long and narrow, almost like a fluorescent bulb, only shorter. So why don't you just say the bulb was narrow instead of long and narrow, you know what I'm saying? Then whatever. I gazed up at it, trying to figure out in the dim light, how do you turn it on? I wonder. There's a chain, Aaron said, coming up beside me. Sure enough, a slender chain descended from the right side of my lamp, hanging down about a foot from the top of the mirror. Possibly one of those little beaded metal chains, the ones that they used to have giant versions of that people that were into pop punk liked in about 97. Wonder if it works, I said. The bulb's probably dead, Lefty remarked. Good old Lefty, always an optimist. Only one way to find out. I said, who has this much of a conversation about goddamn turning on a light bulb when they know how? Standing on tiptoes, I stretched my hand up to the chain.
Be careful,
April warned. Huh? It's just a light, I told her. Famous last words. I reached up, missed, tried again. I grabbed the chain on the second try and pulled.
The light came on with a startling bright flash. Then it dimmed down to a normal light. Very white light that reflected brightly in the mirror.
Hey, that's better, I exclaimed. It lights up the whole room. Pretty bright, huh? No one said anything.
I said pretty bright, huh?
Still, silence from my companions. I turned around. I was surprised to find looks of horror on all three faces, not just the two horrors. Max? Lefty cried, staring hard at me, his eyes practically popping out of his head. Max, where are you? Aaron cried.
She turned to April. "Where'd he go?"
"I'm right here," I told him. "I haven't moved."
"But we can't see you,"
April cried, as both of her breasts were magically fondled. Just kidding, it doesn't say that. But it is the end of the chapter.
Chapter number 4.
All three of them were staring in my direction with their eyes bulging and looks of horror still on their faces. But I could tell they were goofing. "Give me a break, guys," I said. "I'm not as stupid as I look. No way I'm falling for your dumb joke."
"But Max," Lefty insisted, "we're serious."
"Oh, I get it. Sirius Black. Good job, J.K. Rowling. Nice job stealing everything from this book."
"We can't see you,"
Aaron repeated.
"Dumb, dumb, Dumbledore."
Just says dumb 3 times. I added that one. I'll stop the Harry Potter stuff.
Suddenly, the light started to hurt my eyes. It seemed to grow brighter. It was shining right in my face. Shielding my eyes with one hand, I reached up with the other hand and pulled the chain. The light went out, but the white glare stayed with me. I tried to blink it away, but I still saw large, bright spots before my eyes.
"Hey, you're back," Lefty cried. He stepped up and grabbed my arm and squeezed it as if he was testing, making sure I was real or something, like a good ripe cantaloupe.
I don't really like cantaloupe. That's one of the few melons I don't like. I'm a big fruit guy.
Get that drop.
"What's your problem?" I snapped. I was starting to get angry.
"I didn't fall for your dumb joke, Lefty, so why keep it up?"
To my surprise, Lefty didn't back away. He held onto my arm as if you were afraid to let go.
"We weren't joking, Max," Aaron insisted in a low voice. "We really couldn't see you."
"It must have been the light in the mirror," April said. She was pressed against the wall next to the doorway. "It was so bright. I think it was just an optical illusion or some shit."
"It wasn't an optical illusion," Aaron told her. "I was standing right next to Max and I couldn't see him. As if a black guy was standing next to me in the dark and then stopped smiling and closed his eyes. It was that real. He was invisible," Lefty added solemnly.
I laughed. "You guys are trying to scare me," I said, "and you're doing a pretty good job of it."
"You scared us," Lefty exclaimed. He let go of my arm and stepped up to the mirror. I followed his gaze.
"There I am," I said, pointing to my reflection. A strand of hair was poking up in back of my head. I carefully slicked it down.
"Let's get out of here," April pleaded.
Does every Goosebumps have a "let's get out of here"? And do I read it like that every time? Because I do.
Lefty started to toss his softball up, studying himself in the mirror. Aaron made her way around to the back of the mirror.
"It's too dark back here. I can't see shit," she said.
She stepped around to the front and stared up at the oval-shaped lamp on top.
"You disappeared as soon as you pulled the chain on this lamp."
"You're really serious," I said. For the first time, I began to believe they weren't joking.
"You were invisible, Max. Not just sexually invisible how I normally find you, like literally invisible," Aaron said. "Poof, you were gone."
"She's right," Lefty agreed, tossing the softball up and catching it, admiring his form in the mirror.
"It was just an optical illusion," April insisted.
"Pfft, atheists, am I right?
Go listen to Penn Sunday School." I listened to every goddamn episode of his old radio show and read his book, and I'm just like, that guy's a douchebag. I don't trust anyone who doesn't drink.
"Why are you guys making such a big deal about it?"
"It wasn't," Aaron insisted. "He clicked on the light, then he disappeared in a flash," Lefty said. He dropped the softball. It bounced loudly on the hardwood floor, then rolled behind the mirror. He hesitated for a few seconds. Then he went after it, diving for the ball in the darkness. A few seconds later, he came running back.
"You really were invisible, Max," he said.
"Really?" Aaron added, staring hard at me.
"Prove it," I told him.
"Let's go," April pleaded, telling everyone her favorite Rancid album. She had moved to the doorway and was standing half in and half out of the room.
"What do you mean, prove it?"
Aaron asked, talking to my reflection in the mirror.
"Show me," I said.
"You mean do what you did?" Aaron asked, turning to talk to the real me.
"Yeah,
I said. You go invisible too, just like I did. Then we can let's get invisible, like the book name. But he didn't say that. I just wish he did. Aaron and Lefty stared at me. Lefty's mouth dropped open. This is dumb. April called from behind us. I'll do it, Lefty said. He stepped up to the mirror. I pulled him back by the shoulders. Not you, I said. You're too young. He tried to pull out of my grasp, but I held on to him. How about you, Aaron? I urged, wrapping my arms around Lefty's waist to keep him back from the mirror. She shrugged. Okay, I'll try, I guess. Lefty stopped struggling to get away. I loosened my grip a little. We watched Aaron step up in front of the mirror. Her reflection stared back at her, dark and shadowy. She stood on tiptoes, reached up, and grabbed the lamp chain. She glanced over at me and smiled. Here goes, she said. Is that the saying? I thought it was here it goes, or here goes nothing. Just here goes. Like some sort of lady who does nails for a living, but I'm not going to say where she's from. Chapter number 5555, yeah, 5! The chain slipped from Aaron's hand. She reached up and grabbed it. She was just about to tug at it when a woman's voice interrupted from downstairs. Aaron, are you there? April! I recognized the voice. Aaron's mom. Clearly, I recognized it from the slurring. Yep, we're up here, Aaron shouted. She let go of the chain.
Hurry down, we're late, her mom called. What are you doing in the attic anyway?
She made a handjob motion, but Aaron clearly could not see it from the attic.
Nothing, Aaron called down.
She turned to me and shrugged. Good, I'm out of here, April exclaimed and hurried to the stairway. We all followed her down, clumping noisily down the creaking wooden stairs.
What were you doing up there? My mom asked when we were all in the living room. It's so dusty in that attic. It's a wonder you're not filthy.
We're just hanging out, I told her.
We were playing with an old mirror, Lefty said. It was kind of neat.
Playing with a mirror?
Aaron's mom flashed my mom a bewildered glance.
See you guys, Aaron said, pulling her mom to the door. Great party, Max.
Yeah, thanks, April added.
They headed out the front door. The rain had finally stopped. I stood at the screen door and watched them step around the puddles on the walk as they made their way to the car. When I turned back into the living room, Lefty was tossing the softball up to the ceiling, trying to catch it behind his back. He missed. The ball bounced up from the floor onto the end table, where it knocked over a large vase of tulips. What a crash! The vase shattered, tulips went flying. All the water poured down onto the carpet. Mom tossed up her hands and said something silently to the sky.
God, please give me the courage not to go park my car in a parking lot with both these kids in it and forget about it while sexting random broads. That was a joke for Nick.
The way she always does when she's very pushed out of her shape about something. Isn't bent out of shape the term he was looking for? Then we really got on Lefty's case.
She started screaming, "How many times do I have to tell you not to throw that fucking ball in the house?"
Stuff like that. She kept it up for a while. Lefty shrank into a corner and tried to make himself tinier and tinier. He kept saying he was sorry, but Mom was yelling so loud, I don't think she heard him. I bet Lefty wanted to be invisible right at that moment. If only they had a means to do that. You know, a magic mirror or something, you know? But he had to stand and take his punishment. Then he and I helped clean up the mess. A few minutes later, I saw him tossing the softball up in the living room again. That's the thing about Lefty. He never learns. There's a drinking pause here, but I only have water because the tequila's in the kitchen. I didn't think about the mirror again for a couple days. I got busy with school and other stuff, rehearsing for the spring concert. I'm only in the chorus, but I still have to go to every rehearsal. Like I was too busy to get invisible and go into junior high.
I saw Aaron and April in school a lot, but neither of them mentioned the mirror. I guess maybe it slipped their minds, too. Or maybe we all just shut it out of our minds. It was kind of scary if you stopped to think about it. I mean, if you believed what they said happened. Then, that Wednesday night, I couldn't get to sleep. I was lying there, staring up at the ceiling, watching the shadows sway back and forth, wishing I had sweet, sweet Benadryl. I tried counting sheep. I tried shutting my eyes real tight and counting backwards from 1,000. Quick side note, as I think I've discussed on here, I have no ability to visualize things, which Giovanni finds endlessly entertaining, and, so I can't visualize anything and can't think, and I'm gonna, like, imagine you're somewhere. I just can't do that. The only way I think's in, like, complete sentences and words. And when I was a kid, I was like, I need to try counting sheep. So I literally just shat there in bed. That would have been a different problem. Sat there in bed going, one sheep, two sheep, three sheep, just saying the words. Like, this is what everyone else does to sleep, right? It was bizarre. But I was really keyed up for some reason. Not at all sleepy. Is keyed up? Does that come from key bumps? Is that why you can't sleep? Suddenly, I found myself thinking about the mirror up in the attic. What was it doing there? I asked myself. Why was it closed up in that hidden room with the door carefully latched? Who'd it belong to? My grandparents? If so, why would they hide it in that tiny room? I wondered if Mom and Dad even knew it was up there. What do you want, Yodi? Nope, cat's just going to meow and walk away. I started thinking about what had happened on Saturday after my birthday party. I pictured myself standing in front of the mirror, combing my hair, then reaching for the chain, pulling it, a flash of bright light as the lamp went on. And then, did I see my reflection in the mirror after the light went on? I couldn't remember. Did I see myself at all? My hands? My feet? My ding-a-ling? I couldn't remember. It was a joke, I said aloud. Laying in bed, kicking the covers off me. It has to be a joke. Lefty was always playing dumb jokes on me, trying to make me look bad. My brother is a joker. He'd always been a joker. He was never serious, never. He's too busy being a midnight toker. So, what made me think he was serious now? Because Aaron and April agreed with him? Before I realized it, I had climbed out of bed. Only one way to find out if they're serious or not. I told myself. I searched in the darkness for my bedroom slippers. I buttoned my pajama shirt, which had come undone from all the tossing and turning. Ooh. Then, as silent as I could be, I crept out into the hallway. The house was dark except for the tiny nightlight down by the floor, just outside of Lefty's bedroom. Lefty was the only one in the family who ever got up in the middle of the night. He insisted on having a nightlight in his room and one in the hall, even though I made fun of him about it as much as I could. Get it? Because he has normal fears that children have? Suck on that! Now, I was grateful for the light. As I made my way on tiptoe to the attic stairs, even though I was being so careful, the floorboard squeaked under my feet. It's just impossible not to make noise in an old house like this. I stopped and held my breath, listening hard, listening for any sign I had been heard. Silence. Taking a deep breath, I opened the attic door, fumbled around till I found the light switch, and clicked that bitch on. Then, I made my way slowly up the steep stairs, leaning all my weight on the banister, trying my hardest not to make the stairs creak. It seemed to take forever to get all the way up. It's boner joke. Finally, I stopped at the top step and gazed around, letting my eyes adjust to the yellow glare of the ceiling light. The attic was hot and stuffy. The air was so dry it made my nose burn. I had a sudden urge to turn around and go back. But then, my eyes stopped at the doorway to the small, hidden room. In our hurry to leave, we had left the door wide open, staring at the darkness beyond the open doorway. I stepped onto the landing and made my way quickly across the cluttered floor. The floorboards creaked and groaned beneath me, but I barely heard them bitches. I was drawn to the open doorway, drawn to the mysterious room, as if being pulled by a powerful magnet. And I was like, fucking metaphorical magnets, how do they metaphorically work? I had to see the tall mirror again. I had to examine it, study it closely. I had to know the truth about it.
I just imagine some like coked up 80s guy going like, I had to see the mirror again. I just had to examine it face down, study it closely. I had to know the truth about the mirror. I stepped into the small room without hesitating and walked up to the mirror. I paused for a moment and studied my shadowy reflection on the glass. My hair was totally messed up, but I didn't give a shit. I stared at myself, stared into my eyes. Then I took a step back to get a different view and brought out blue steel. The mirror reflected my entire body from head to foot. There wasn't anything special about the reflection. It wasn't distorted or weird in any way. The fact that it was such a normal reflection helped to calm me. I hadn't realized it, but my heart was fluttering like a nervous butterfly. Like a nervous butterfly on meth. My hands and feet were cold as ice. Chill out, Max, I whispered to myself, watching myself whisper in the mirror. I did a funny little dance for my own benefit, waving my hands above my head and shaking my whole body. Nothing special about this mirror, I said aloud. I reached out and touched it. The glass felt cool despite the warmth of the room. I ran my hand along the glass until I reached the frame, leaving dusty, greasy little kid fingerprints on everything. Then I let my hand wander up and down the wood frame. It felt smooth and cool. It's just a mirror, I thought, finally feeling more relaxed. Just an old mirror that someone stored up here long ago and forgot about. Still holding on to the frame, I walked around to the back. It was too dark to see clearly, but it didn't seem too interesting back there. Well, I might as well turn on the light at the top, I thought. I turned to the front of the mirror, standing just inches back from it. I began to reach up for the lamp chain when something caught my eye. Oh! I cried out as I saw two eyes down low in the mirror. Two eyes staring out at me. Chapter motherfucking six, yeah! My breath caught in my throat. I peered down into the dark reflection. My two eyes peered up at me, dark and evil eyes. Uttering a cry of panic, I turned away from the mirror. Lefty! I cried. My voice came out shrill and tight, as if someone were squeezing my throat. Ooh, that's the only way he can finish. He grinned at me from just inside the doorway. I realized that it had been Lefty's eyes reflected in the mirror. I ran over to him and grabbed him by the shoulders. You scared me to death! I half screamed, half whispered. Isn't all talking half screaming and half whispering? Heyo, this is Dune, and welcome to Dune Half Scream, Half Whispers Goosebumps. So I'm going to keep this vocal tone the whole time. His grin grew wider, you're stupid, he said. I wanted to strangle him. He thought it was a riot. Why'd you sneak up behind me? I demanded, giving him a shove back against the wall. He shrugged. Well, what are you doing up here anyway? I sputtered. I could still see those dark eyes staring out at me in the mirror. So creepy. I heard you, he explained, leaning back against the wall, still grinning. I was awake. I heard you walk past my room. So I followed you. Well, you shouldn't be up here, I snapped. Neither should you, prick, he snapped back. Go downstairs and go to bed, I said. My voice was finally returning to normal. I tried to sound as if I meant business, but Lefty didn't move. Make me, he said. Another classic argument when... What the fuck just happened with my voice? Wait up, more water.
Then more tequila.
Another classic argument winner. I mean it, I insisted. Go back to bed. Make me, he repeated nastily. I'll tell Mom and Dad you're up here, he added. I hate being threatened, and he knows it. That's why he threatens me every hour of the day. Sometimes I just wish I could pound him, but we live in a non-violent family. Hey, if you guys are living in a violent family, you should go talk to someone and get some help, because that's not a way to live, and you need to tell an adult that you can trust, but don't tell me, because that would make me very uncomfortable, and I don't know how to deal with that kind of situation, so I would just try to make a joke. That's what Mom and Dad say every time Lefty and I get in a fight. Break it up, you two. We live in a non-violent family. Sometimes, non-violence can be real frustrating. Know what I mean? Gaza Strip. This was one of those times, but I could see that I wasn't going to get rid of Lefty so easily. He was determined to stay up in the attic with me and see what I was doing with the mirror. My heart had finally slowed down to normal. I was starting to feel calmer, so I decided to stop fighting with him and let him stay. I turned back to the mirror. Luckily, there wasn't another pair of eyes staring out at me. "What are you doing?" Lefty demanded, stepping up behind me, his arms still crossed over his chest like some kind of Dracula. "Just checking out the mirror," I told him. "You're gonna go invisible again," he asked. He was standing right behind me, and his breath smelled sour like lemons. "Gross, brush your teeth, kid." I turned and shoved him back a few steps. "Get out of my face," I said. "Your breath stinks." That started another stupid argument, of course. I was sorry I'd ever come up here. I should have stayed in bed, I realized. Finally, I persuaded him to stand a foot away from me. A major victory. Yawning. Wait, wasn't that a Damon Wayans movie? Major Victory? Yawning, I turned back to the mirror. I was starting to feel sleepy. Maybe it was because of the heat of the attic. Maybe it was because I was tired of all the arguing with my dopey brother. Or maybe it was because it was really late at night and I was just sleepy nine-nine. I'm gonna turn on the light, I told him, reaching for the chain. Tell me if I go invisible again. No. He shoved his way right next to me. I want to try it too. No way, I insisted, shoving back hard. Yes way. He pushed me hard. I pushed back. Then I had a better idea. Franklin, be nice to Yodi. What do you want, Yodi? Come here. Yodi! I do like having a cat that I can call. Come here. How about if we both stand in front of the mirror? And I pull the light chain. Yodi, you want to say anything to the people? Okay, go ahead. Standing an inch in front of it, I practically nose to nose with his reflection. Lefty stiffened until he was standing at attention. He looked ridiculous, especially in those awful green pajamas, like some sort of retarded Grinch. I stepped up beside him. Here goes nothing, I said. I stretched my hand up, grabbed the light chain, and pulled. Chapter number seven, yeah. The light on top of the mirror flashed. Ow! I cried out. The light was so bright it hurt my eyes. Wish I had shades, you know? Then it quickly dimmed and my eyes started to adjust. I turned to Lefty and started to say something. I don't remember what it was. It completely flew out of my mind. Then I realized that Lefty was gone. Lefty? I stammered. I'm right here, he replied. His voice sounded nearby, but I couldn't see him. Max, where are you? You can't see me? I cried. No, Lefty said. No, I can't. I could smell his sour breath. Gross. So I knew he was there, but he was invisible, gone, out of sight. I don't think I've been told anything about having bad breath, like you know, or morning breath or anything for maybe 12 years, something like that, like in the morning waking up or something, but like, I constantly stress about possibly having bad breath, and I don't get why everyone doesn't, because that just makes it so anything you're saying to someone is just like out the window and invalid, because you just smell like hell and you're pushing hot, humid disgust into their face. So they weren't putting me on. Aaron, April, and Lefty had been telling the truth on Saturday after my birthday party. I really had gone invisible, and now I was invisible again. Along with my brother. Oh, these are the invisible children. Oh, they got conied by the mirror. Hey, Max. His voice sounded tiny, shaky. This is weird. Yeah, it's weird, okay, I agreed. You really can't see me, Lefty? No, and I can't see myself, he said. The mirror. I had forgotten to check the mirror. Did I have a reflection? I turned and stared into the mirror. The light was pouring down from the top of the frame, casting a bright glare over the glass. Squinting into the glare like a Chinaman, I saw nothing. No me, no Lefty, just the reflection of the walls behind us and the open doorway leading to the rest of the attic. We don't have reflections, I said. And plot twist, he's a vampire. It's kind of cool, Lefty remarked. He grabbed my arm. I jumped in surprise. Hey, I cried. It felt creepy to be grabbed by an invisible person. I grabbed him back. I tickled his ribs. He started to laugh. I thought about grabbing boobies. Grabby booby, 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 grabbing ass, booby. Sorry, I'm just saying, what would a 12-year-old do with this power? Not tickle his brother. We still have our bodies, I said. We just can't see them. He tried to tickle me, but I danced away from him. Hey, Max, where'd you go? He called, sounding frightened again. Whoa, I just remembered that I had a dream about the silence from Doctor Who. And it was like, in the dream, I was watching an episode, and I kept being like, man, the silence look terrible in this. They look like they're just wearing cardboard masks. And then apparently, that's the best my mind could conjure up while I was asleep. Can see things there, obviously, can't normally. But point is, that was my dream about the silence, and they're invisible. That's the whole point, was the Doctor Who thing. Hey, Max, where'd you go? He called, sounding frightened again. Try and find me, I teased, backing towards the wall. I can't, he said shakily. Come back here, okay? No way, I said. I don't want to be tickled. I won't, Lefty swore. I promise. I stepped back in front of the mirror. Are you here? Lefty asked timidly. Yeah, I'm right beside you. I can smell your bad breath, I told him. And he started to tickle me again. The little liar. We wrestled around for a bit. It was so strange wrestling with someone you couldn't see. I assume that that's how all fantasizing works for women. Just wrestling with someone you can't see, but they're powerful. And it's just like a force, you know, of just the perfect man. Finally, I pushed him away. I wonder if we could go downstairs and still be invisible, I said. I wonder if we could leave the house like this and go spy on people, Lefty suggested. Yeah, I said. I yawned. I was starting to feel a little strange. We could go spy on girls and stuff. Finally, he gets to it. Cool, Lefty replied. Remember that old movie Mom and Dad were watching on TV? I asked him about the ghosts who kept appearing and disappearing all the time. They had a lot of fun scaring people, you know, playing jokes on them, driving them crazy. But we're not ghosts, Lefty replied in a trembling voice. I think the idea kind of frightened him. Grim grin and Lefty comes out to socialize. It frightened me too. Could we go back to normal now? Lefty asked. I don't feel right. Me either, I told him. I was feeling very light, kind of fluttery, just fucking weird. How can we get back to right again and shit so people can see us? He asked. Well, the last time I just pulled the chain, I clicked the light off and I was back. That's all it took. Well, do it, Lefty urged impatiently. Right now? Okay. Yeah, okay. I started to feel a little dizzy. Kind of light, as if I could float away or something. Hurry, Lefty said. I could hear him breathing hard. I reached up and grabbed the light chain. No problem, I told him. We'll be back in a second. I pulled the chain. The light went out, but Lefty and I didn't return. And more tequila. Somehow I had that cocktail first, and that's my fifth shot while recording this. Every time I start to feel unmotivated, I'm like, no, I gotta do this. What would Andrew WK do right now? And then I go, I don't want to be that douchey. So I just take a shot and then I keep going. Which brings us on to chapter number 8. Also, I really like Andrew WK. I don't know why I just called him douchey. I think it's the whole like, be positive all the time thing, because I'm negative about 98% of the time. Speaking of 8, chapter 8. Max, I can't see you, Lefty whined. I know, I replied softly. I felt so frightened. I had chills running down my back. Chills that wouldn't stop. I can't see you either. What happened? Lefty cried, a la all your base are belong to us. I could feel him tug at my invisible arm. I don't know, I stammered. It worked before. I clicked off the light and I was back. I gazed into the mirror. No reflection, no nothing, no me, no Lefty. I stood there staring at the spot where our reflection should be, frozen with fear. I was glad Lefty couldn't see me because I wouldn't want him to see how frightened I looked. I bet you wish he could see you because you're stuck invisible, which I don't know what if I would go through life. Like, if you gave me the option, I would be invisible until I die. No, I guess I'd have to go with be visible, just for the sake of I die pretty quick, invisible. Which, first off, I couldn't, you know, get a paycheck. I know I could steal and stuff, but, like, it was that. And then doctors couldn't T-word me. I don't want to say it because Franklin's next to me, but
T-R-E-A-T.
"Try it again, Max," he whined. "Please, hurry." "Okay," I said. "Just try to stay calm, okay?" "Stay calm? How?" Lefty wailed. "What if we never get back? What if no one can ever see us again?" I suddenly felt so sick. My stomach just sort of heaved like I had a mountain of rhea built up inside of me. "Get a grip," I told myself. "You've got to keep it together, Max, for Lefty's sake." I stretched up for the light chain, but it seemed to be out of my reach. I tried again. Missed. And then suddenly, I was back, and so was Lefty. We could see each other, and we could see our reflections in the mirror. "We're back!" we both shouted in unison. And then we both fell on the floor laughing. We were so relieved, so happy. "Shh!" I grabbed Lefty and shoved my hand over his mouth. I just remembered it was the middle of the night. "If Mom and Dad catch us up here, they'll kill us." I thought they were a nonviolent family. I warned, whispering. "Why'd it take so long for us to come back?" Lefty asked, turning serious, gazing at his reflection, asking it, "Who am I? I don't know." I shrugged. "Beats me," I thought about it. "Maybe if you stay invisible longer, it takes longer for you to get back," I suggested. "Huh? What do you mean?" "The first time I went invisible," I told him, "it was only for a few seconds, and I came back instantly, as soon as I clicked off the light. But tonight, we stayed invisible a lot longer, so it took a lot longer to come back." "I get it," Lefty said. "You're not as dumb as you look," I said, yawning. "You are," he snapped back. Feeling totally exhausted, I started to lead the way out of the tiny room, motioning for Lefty to follow me. But he hesitated, glancing back at his reflection in the mirror. "We have to tell Mom and Dad about the mirror," he whispered thoughtfully. "No fucking way," I told him. "No way we're telling them. If we tell them about it, they're gonna take it away. They won't let us use it." He stared at me thoughtfully. "I'm not sure I want to use it," he said softly, as he had not reached puberty yet. "Well, I do," I said, pointing to my patch of lush pubes, turning at the doorway to look back at it. "I want to use it just one more time." "What for?" Lefty asked, yawning. "To scare Zach." It was a drinking break, but my girlfriend's calling, coming home from LA. I'm going to call her back right now. Zach couldn't come over until Saturday. As soon as he arrived, I wanted to take him up to the attic and give him a demonstration of the mirror's powers. Mainly, I wanted to scare the shit out of him. I literally wanted him to defecate in his pants, because for me, that's a huge turn-on. But Mom insisted that we sit down for lunch first. "Canned chicken noodle soup and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches!" I gulped my soup as fast as I could, not bothering to chew the noodles. Lefty kept giving me meaningful glances across the table. I could see that he was as eager as I was to scare Zach. "Where'd you get that haircut?" my mom asked Zach. She walked around the table, staring at Zach's head, frowning. I could tell she hated it. Fucking uptight moms aren't supposed to like his punk rock hair. "At Quick Cuts," Zach told her, after swallowing a mouthful of peanut butter and jelly. "You know, at the mall." We all studied Zach's haircut. I thought it was kind of cool. The way it was buzzed so short on the left, then hung down along on the right like Dune's hair in 2007, if you want to go look up that image. "It's different, all right," my mom said like a judgmental cunt. We all could tell she hated it, but I guess she thought she was covering up by calling it different. If I ever came home with a haircut like that, she'd murder me. Once again, not a very non-violent household. "What did your mom say about it?" she asked Zach. Zach laughed. "Not much." We all laughed. I kept glancing up at the clock. I was so eager to get upstairs. "How about some chocolate cupcakes?" my mom asked, unaware of diabetes, when we'd finished our sandwiches. Zach started to say yes, but I interrupted him. "Can we have dessert later? I'm kind of full." I pushed back my chair and got up quickly, motioning for Zach to follow me. Lefty was already running to the stairs. "Hey, where are you going so fast?" Mom called in a weird boy's voice, following us to the hall. Upstairs to the attic, I told her. "The attic?" She wrinkled her face, puzzled. "What is so interesting up there?"
And why do you guys always have to light incense when you go? And why do you guys come down afterwards and eat so many snacks? Just a bunch of old magazines. I lied. They're kind of funny. I want to show them to Zach.
That was pretty fast thinking for me. I'm not usually very quick at making up stories.
Apparently RL was, because he shit one of these out every week.
Mom stared at me. I don't think she believed me, but she turned back to the kitchen. Have fun, guys. Don't get too, wink, dirty, end wink, up there. We won't, I told her. I led Zach up the steep stairs. Lefty was already waiting for us in the attic.
It was about 100 degrees hotter up there.
I started to sweat the second I stepped into the room. Zach stopped a few feet behind me and looked around.
It's just a lot of old junk. What's so interesting up here?
He asked. You'll see, I said mysteriously.
Ooh, that's why mystery's so attractive.
This way! Lefty called eagerly, running to the little room against the far wall. He was so excited, he dropped his softball. It rolled in front of him, and he tripped over it and fell face down in the floor with a thud.
I meant to do that! Lefty joked, climbing up quickly and leaping over the ball, which had rolled across the floor.
Your brother is made of rubber or something, Zach laughed. Maybe flubber. You know, like that movie with that guy that died?
Falling down is hard, is his hobby, sorry, I said.
He falls down about 100 times a day. I wasn't exaggerating. He was just like that girl's mom. She's always drunk. A few seconds later, the three of us were in the hidden room, standing in front of the mirror. Even though it was a sunny afternoon, the room was as dark and shadowy as ever. Zach turned from the mirror to me, a bewildered look on his face.
This is what you wanted to show me?
Yeah, I nodded. Since when are you into furniture? He asked, starting to question if the furniture and hair added up.
It's an interesting mirror, don't you think? I asked.
No, he said, not too interesting. Lefty laughed. He bounced his softball off the wall and caught it. I was deliberately taking my time. Zach was in for the surprise of his life, but I wanted to confuse him a little first. He was also always doing stuff like that to me. He always acted as if he knew everything that was there was to know. And if I were good, he'd be... fuck, my brain.
He always acted as if he knew everything there was to know. And if I were good, he'd share a little bit of his knowledge with me.
Well, now I knew something that he didn't know. I wanted to stretch this moment out to make it last. But at the same time, I couldn't wait to watch the look on Zach's face when I disappeared right in front of his eyes.
Let's go outside, Zach said impatiently.
It's too hot up here. I brought my bike. Why don't we ride to the playground behind school? See who's there.
Maybe later. Is that a common thing that kids just hung out at school all the time? That's come up numerous times in Goosebumps books.
Maybe later, I replied, grinning at Lefty. I turned to my brother. Should I show Zach our secret or not?
Lefty grinned back at me. He shrugged.
What secret? You're not talking about that thing where I make a poster board of all the things I want, then don't actually work to get them. Zach demanded. I knew he couldn't stand to be left out of anything. He couldn't bear it if anyone had a secret he didn't know about.
What secret? He repeated when I didn't answer.
Show him, Lefty said, tossing up the softball. I rubbed my chin, pretending to be thinking about it.
Well, okay.
I motioned for Zach to stand behind me.
You're gonna make funny faces in the mirror?
Zach guessed. He shook his head.
Big deal!
No, that's not the secret. Who am I, Calvin? I told him. I stepped in front of the mirror, admiring my reflection, which stared back at me in the glass.
Watch! Lefty urged, stepping up beside Zach.
I'm watching, Zach said impatiently.
I'll bet you I can disappear into thin air, I told Zach.
Yeah, sure, he muttered.
Lefty laughed.
How much you want to bet?
I asked.
2 cents, Zach said.
His last name was Herschelbaum.
Is this some kind of trick or something with the mirror? A mirror trick? Is that what this is?
Something like that, I told him. How about $10? Bet me $10.
Huh? Forget the bet. Just show him,
Lefty said, bouncing up and down impatiently.
I have a magic kit at home, Zach said. I can do over 1,000 magic tricks, but it's kid stuff, he sneered.
Magic is somehow both the most impressive and most boring thing on the planet.
Why is that?
You don't have any tricks like this, I said confidently.
Just get over with... What the fuck is up with my stuttering? Jesus.
Just get it over with so we can go outside, he grumbled. I stepped into the center of the mirror.
Ta-da!
I sang myself a short fanfare. Then I reached up and grabbed the light chain. I pulled it. The lamp above the mirror flashed on, blinding bright at first, then dimming as before. And I was gone. I like that I stumble over words and stuff right after I went on some rant about, like, oh, I just drink constantly, and then I'm like, why am I stumbling? Maybe there's a correlation. Hey, Zach cried. He stumbled backwards. He actually stumbled out of shock. Invisible, I turned away from the mirror to enjoy his stunned reaction. Max? He cried out. His eyes searched the room. Lefty was laughing his ass off. Max? Zach sounded worried. Max, how'd you do that? Where are you? I'm right here, I said. He jumped at the sound of my voice. Lefty laughed even harder. I reached out and took the softball from Lefty's hand. I glanced at the reflection in the mirror. The ball seemed to float in midair. Here, catch, Zach. I tossed at him. He was so stunned he didn't move. The ball bounced off his chest. Max, how do you do this trick? He demanded. It isn't a trick. It's real, I said. Hey, wait! He got a suspicious look on his face. He ran around to the back of the mirror. I guess he expected me to be hiding back there. He looked very disappointed when he didn't see me. Is there a trap door or some shit? What the fuck is going on? He asked. He walked back in front of the mirror, got down on his hands and knees, and started searching the floorboards for a trap door. I leaned over and pulled his t-shirt up over his head.
These are the ideas that I had when I was thinking as a 12-year-old boy, except for he starts immediately doing it to a dude.
Hey, stop him! He yelled, climbing angrily to his feet. I tickled his stomach. Stop, Max! He squirmed away, thrashing his arms, trying to hit me. He looked really frightened now. He was breathing hard and his face was bright red. I pulled his t-shirt up again. He jerked it down. You're really invisible? His voice rose up so high, only dogs could hear it.
Really?
Franklin, could you hear that?
It's confirmed dogs can hear it. Good trick, huh? I said, right in his ear. He jumped and spun away.
What does it feel like? Does it feel weird?
I didn't answer him. I crept out of the room and picked up a cardboard carton just outside the door. I carried it up to the mirror. It looked great. A carton floating all by itself. Put it down, Zach!
Urged.
Put it down, Zach urged. He sounded wee skilled. This is really freaking me the fuck out, Max. Stop it, okay? Come back so I can see you. I wanted to torture him some more, but I couldn't. But I could see he was about to lose it. Besides, I started to feel weird again. Sort of dizzy and lightheaded, and the bright light was hurting my eyes, starting to blind me. Okay, I'm coming back, I announced. Watch. I leaned against the mirror and reached up for the chain. I suddenly felt very tired, very weak. It took all of my strength to wrap my hand around the chain. I had the strangest sensation that the mirror was pulling me, tugging me toward it, holding me down. With a determined burst of strength, I pulled the chain. The lamp went out. The room darkened. Where are you? I still can't see you, Zach cried, his voice revealing panic. Just chill, I told him. It takes a few seconds. The longer I stay invisible, the longer it takes to come back. And then I added, I think.
Oh, damn. I was going to make fun of him for jumping to conclusions, but then he added, I think, and now I don't have to make fun of him for it. So, you know, that's good.
Staring into the blank mirror, waiting for my reflection to return, I suddenly realized that I didn't know anything at all about this mirror, about turning invisible, about coming back. My mind suddenly whirred with all sorts of terrifying questions. What made me think that reappearing was automatic? What if I could only come back twice, and after the third time you went invisible and you stayed invisible? Why am I so obsessed with my hair and pulling boys' shirts up?
What if the mirror was broken? What if it was locked away in a hidden room because it didn't work properly and it made people stay invisible forever, as opposed to a normal mirror which only makes you invisible sometimes? What if I never came back? No, that can't be, I told myself. But the seconds were ticking by and my body was still not visible. I touched the mirror, rubbing my invisible hand over the smooth, cool glass. Max, what's taking so long? Zach asked about the situation and about this chapter, dear God, his voice trembling. I don't know, I told him, sounding as frightened and upset as he did, and then suddenly, I was back. I was staring at my reflection in the mirror, watching intently, gratefully, as a wide smile crossed my face. Ta-da! I sang my triumphant fanfare, most triumphant, turning to my still-shaken friend. Here I am! Wow! Zach exclaimed, and his mouth remained in a tight O of surprise and wonder. Wow! I know, I said, grinning. Pretty cool, huh? I felt very shaky, kinda trembly all over, as if I had the DTs. My knees felt all weak and sweaty. You know the feeling. God, do I know the feeling. But I ignored it. I wanted to enjoy my moment of glory. It wasn't often that I got to do something that Zach hadn't already done 10 times. Amazing, Zach said, staring hard at the mirror. I've got to try it. Well, I wasn't so sure I wanted Zach to do it. It wasn't such a big responsibility. Sorry, it was such a big responsibility. I mean, what if something went wrong? You've got to let me do it, Zach insisted. Hey, where's Lefty? I asked, glancing quickly around the small room. Huh? Lefty? Zach's eyes searched too. I was so busy being invisible, I forgot he was here, I said, and then I called. Hey, Lefty! No reply. Silence. I walked quickly around to the back of the mirror. He wasn't there. Calling his name, I made my way to the door and peered out into the attic. No sign of him. He was standing right here, in front of the mirror, Zach said, suddenly pale. Lefty, I called. Are you here?
Lefty, can you hear me?
Silence. Weird, Zach said. I swallowed hard. My stomach suddenly felt as if I'd swallowed a rock. He was right here, standing right here, Zach said in a shrill, frightened voice. Well, he's gone now, I said, staring at the dark, shadowy reflection of the mirror. Lefty's gone.
Chapter number 9.
Maybe Lefty went invisible too, Zach suggested. Then why doesn't he answer us? I cried. I tried calling my brother again. Lefty, are you here? Can you hear me? No reply. I walked up to the mirror and angrily slapped the frame. Stupid mirror. Lefty? Lefty? Zach had his hands cupped around his mouth like a megaphone. He stood at the door of the little room, calling out into the attic. It is amazing, the multitasking. I know I brought it up earlier with the phones making us all have no attention span whatsoever, but I literally was checking a text message and reading that while reading this, which I don't even know how that's possible, unless I have a lazy eye, which I don't. But, like, it's just baffling, you know? It's I have no idea how it works. I don't believe this, I said weakly. My legs were shaking so much I dropped down onto the floor, and then I heard giggling. Huh? Lefty? I jumped to my feet. More giggling, coming from behind the carton I'd carried into the little room. I lunged toward the carton just as Lefty popped out from behind it. Gotcha, he cried, and collapsed over the carton, slapping the floor, laughing his head off. Gotcha, gotcha both. You little faggot, Zach screamed offensively. He and I both pounced on Lefty at the same time. I pulled back his arm until he screamed. Zach messed up his hair, then tickled him. Lefty was screaming and laughing and squirping and squirming and crying all at the same time. I gave him a hard punch in the shoulder. Don't ever do that again, I shouted angrily, regretting saying, hey, do you want some Hawaiian punch before hitting him? Lefty laughed.
So I gave him a hard shove and climbed to my feet. Zach and I, both breathing hard, both red in the face like Injuns, glared angrily at Lefty. He was rolling on the floor, covered in dust, still laughing like a maniac. "You scared us to death, you really did," I exclaimed heatedly.
"I know," Lefty replied happily.
"Let's beat him up some more," Zach suggested, balling his hands into tight fists.
"Okay," I agreed.
"You'll have to catch me first," Lefty cried, and then went, "Andre, Andre, arriba, arriba," and then he shot some guns in the air, and then he ran. He was on his feet in a flash and out the door. I chased after him, tripping over stacks of old clothes, and went flying headfirst to the floor. "Ow!" I banged my leg hard. The pain shot up through my body.
I was going to comment on the fact that why they keep old clothes, then realized I do it too, and that if my girlfriend heard this, she'd be like, "Yeah, why do you keep old clothes?" And I'd be like, "It's hard for me to throw things away because I'm a hoarder."
Pulling myself up slowly, I started after Lefty again, but voices on the attic stairway made me stop. Aaron's head popped up first. Then April appeared. Lefty was sitting on the windowsill at the far end of the attic, red face, sweaty, and catching his breath.
"Hey, how's it going?"
he called to the two girls, brushing dust off my jeans. Oh, I called to the two girls, brushing dust off my jeans. And then straightening my hair with one hand.
"Your mom said you were here," Aaron explained, looking from Lefty to me.
"What are you guys doing up here?" April asked.
"Ah, just hanging out," I said, casting an angry glance at my brother, who stuck his tongue out in reply.
April picked up an old Life magazine, which at that point just showed single-celled organisms, am I right? Because it's old, but who would publish it? From a stack of yellowed magazines and began flipping through it, but the pages crumbled as she looked at them.
"Yuck," she said, putting it down.
"This stuff is so old."
"That's what attics are for," I said, starting to feel a little more normal. "Whoever heard of keeping new stuff in an attic?"
"Ha! Ha!" Lefty laughed sarcastically.
"Where's that mirror?" Aaron asked, stepping into the center of the room.
"The one that made that weird optical illusion last Saturday?"
"It wasn't an optical illusion," I blurted out. I didn't really feel like messing with the mirror anymore. I'd had enough scares for one afternoon. Oh, by the way, he got a call earlier thinking someone was pregnant. She wasn't.
But the words just tumbled out of me. "I can never keep a secret. It's a character flaw."
"Yeah, that does make you a shitty friend."
"What do you mean?" Aaron asked, very interested. She walked past me, heading to the open doorway of the little room.
"You mean that wasn't an optical illusion last week?"
April asked, following her.
"No, not really," I said, glancing at Lefty, who hadn't budged from the windowsill across the room.
"The mirror has strange powers or something? It really can turn you invisible."
"Wait, is that the plot of the Indiana Jones ride?"
April laughed scornfully. "Yeah, fucking right," she said. "And I'm gonna fly to Mars in a flying saucer tonight after dinner."
"Give me a break," I muttered. I turned my eyes to Aaron. "I'm serious."
Aaron stared back at me. Her face was filled with doubt.
Unlike Gwen Stefani's, whose was filled with no doubt.
No?
All right.
"You're trying to tell us that you've gone into that room and become invisible?"
"I'm not trying to tell you," I repeated heatily.
"I am telling you." April laughed. Aaron continued to stare at me, studying my face.
"You are serious," she decided.
"It's a trick mirror," April told her, "that's all. The light on top is so bright it makes your eyes go weird."
"Yes, your eyes go weird. That's a scientific explanation, April."
"Show us," Aaron said to me.
"Yeah, show 'em," Lefty exclaimed eagerly.
He jumped up from the window still and started running to the little room.
"I'll go this time. Let me do it."
"No way," I said.
"Let me try it," Aaron volunteered.
"How do you know who else is here?"
I asked the girls, following them to the room.
"Zach is here," I called to him.
"Hey, Zach, Aaron wants to go invisible. Think we should let her?"
I stepped into the room.
"Zach,
where's he hiding?" Aaron asked. I uttered a silent gasp.
"Then it's not, you didn't utter it if it's silent, jerk. He just went, that's it."
The mirror light was on, and Zach was gone. I want to tell my neighbors that share a wall with me to shut off their fucking bassy music, but I can't for two reasons. The first one being that it's 9 p.m. on a Friday, exactly 9, by the way, and that would be ridiculous. I'm just a bitter old man. And the second one is I have been drunkenly yelling about magic mirrors for the past 2 hours. I have no right to be complaining about neighbors being weird and annoying. Chapter 10. Oh no! I cried, loud enough for the neighbors to hear. I don't believe this shit! Lefty laughed. Zack's invisible, he told Aaron and April. Zack, where are you? I demanded angrily. Suddenly, the softball floated up from Lefty's hand. Hey, give that back! Lefty shouted and grabbed for it. But invisible Zack pulled the ball out of Lefty's reach and then probably did that cool David Bowie thing that he did in The Labyrinth, which was really done by Michael Motion. Something, something. Penn Jillette showed me that or told me that. He didn't really show me anything. Whatever. Aaron and April were both gaping at the ball as it floated in midair, their eyes bulging, their mouths wide open. Yeah, that's their instinct, to just put their mouths wide open when balls are floating right in front of their faces. Hi, girls! Zack called in a booming, deep voice that sounded nothing like Dune Reddit, floated from in front of the mirror. April screamed and grabbed Aaron's arm. Zack, stop kidding around. How long have you been invisible? I asked. I don't know. The ball flew back to Lefty, who dropped it and had to chase it out into the attic. How long, Zack? I repeated. About 5 minutes, maybe, he replied. When you chased after Lily, I turned on the light and went invisible. Then I heard you talking to Aaron and April, and you know how broads are. Yap, 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 yap. Oh, you should talk, Dune. You're right, Dune. I do talk way too much. You've been invisible the whole time? I asked, feeling really nervous and upset. Yeah, this is awesome, he exclaimed. But then his tone grew doubtful. I'm starting to feel kind of funny, though, Max. Funny? Aaron asked, staring at where Zack's voice seemed to be coming from. What do you mean, funny? Kinda dizzy, Zack replied weakly. Everything's kinda breaking up, you know, like a bad TV picture. I mean, you're starting to fade, to seem like far away. I'm bringing you back, I said, and without waiting for Zack's reply, I reached up and pulled the light chain. The light clicked off. Darkness seemed to roll into the room, filling the mirror with gray shadows. Where is he? April cried. It didn't work. He isn't back. It takes a while, I explained. How long? April asked. I don't really know, I said. Why aren't I back? Zack asked. Zack attack, you know, that was a fun one. People called me that when I was a kid. Also, that was the time when I was a child when they had Zack, the Lego maniac. I only heard that 6 gabillion times. Also, don't name your kid Zack for the reason of every time someone says exactly, they look over and it's very annoying. He was standing right beside me. I could feel his breath on my neck. I can't see myself. He sounded very frightened. Don't get tense, I said, forcing myself to sound calm. You know it takes a while, especially since you stayed invisible for so long. But how long? Zack wailed. Shouldn't I be back by now? You were back by now. I remember. Just stay cool, I told him, handing him a menthol. Even though my stomach was churning and my throat was dry. This is too scary. I hate this, April moaned like a little bitch. Be patient. Ooh, I use that like a little bitch line in every Goosebumps, but it feels wrong and it made me, like, cringe actually applying it to a girl. So I apologize. April is not a little bitch. Zack is a little bitch. Shh, I'm trying to read Goosebumps. Oh, now you're purring and rubbing on me. He's so cute. Come here, Yodi. I'll hold you while I read this. Be patient, I replied softly. Everybody, just be patient. We all stared from the spot where we thought Zack was standing to the mirror, then back again. Zack, how do you feel? Aaron asked, her voice trembling. Weird, Zack replied. Oh, now you want to go, Kat. Like I'm never coming back. Don't say that, I snapped. But that's how I feel, Zack said softly. Like I'm never coming back. Just chill, I said. Everybody, just chill. We stood in silence. Watching, waiting, masturbating. Just like the Blink-182 song, but it said commiserating. Anyway, we stood in silence, watching, waiting. Waiting. I was never so frightened in my entire life. All right, just walked Franklin. Said neighbors are having a party, it seems. Hi, buddy. You excited to see me? Hi, Franklin. Anyway, is me getting something done in the sense of this is an audio recording that will not exist forever, but maybe a decade or so, and, you know, a couple thousand people hear it or whatever. Is that better? Or is the fact that they're socializing and being normal human beings and hanging out with friends better? I honestly don't know. Oh, God, what am I doing with my life? Dune reads Goosebumps, listener.
Chapter number 11, that's the number with two ones in a row. H-E double hockey sticks, but not hockey sticks, just two ones. Do something,
Zach, still invisible, pleaded.
Max, you've got to do something. I'd better get Mom?
Lefty stammered. He dropped the softball to the floor and started to the door.
Mom? What could Mom do? She's a woman, I cried in panic.
But I'd better get somebody, Lefty declared. At that moment, Zach shimmered back into view.
Whoa!
He uttered a long, breathless sigh of relief and slumped to his knees on the floor.
Yay!
Erin cried happily, clapping her hands like a retarded seal as we all gathered around Zach.
How do you feel?
I asked, grabbing his shoulders. I think I wanted to know for sure that he was really back.
Yes, I'm back. Back again. Zach is back. Tell some friends. Zach is back. Zach is back.
Whatever. Zach proclaimed, smiling. That's all I care about. That was really scary. April said quietly, hands shoved into the pockets of her white tennis shorts. I mean, really.
I wasn't scared, Zach said, suddenly changing his tune. I knew there was no problem.
Do you believe this guy? One second he's whining and wailing, begging me to do something. The next second, he's pretending he had the time of his life.
Mr. Confident.
Confident, and that was with a capital C.
What did it feel like?
Erin asked, resting one hand on the wooden mirror frame.
Awesome, Zach replied.
He climbed unsteadily to his feet.
Really, it was totally awesome. I want to get invisible again before school on Monday so I can go spy in the girls' locker room.
Up top, Zach. No problem, Zach.
Zach, you're a pig, Erin declared disgustedly.
He's 12. You understand how hard it is being a teenage boy? You can't think about things. It's just like, fuck, that rock looks like a boob. I'm so turned on.
What's the point of being invisible if you can't spy on girls? Zach asked.
Are you sure you're okay? I asked, genuinely concerned. You seem kind of shaky to me.
Well, I started to feel a little strange at the end, Zach confessed, scratching the back of his head.
How do you mean?
I asked. Well, like, I was being pulled away. Away from the room, away from you guys.
Pulled where?
I demanded. He shrugged. I don't know. I only know one thing.
A smile began to form on his face, and his blue eyes seemed to lighten up.
Oh, shit, I thought.
I only know one thing, Zach repeated.
What?
I asked.
I'm the new invisible champ. I stayed invisible longer than you, at least 5 minutes longer than anybody.
But I haven't had a turn, Erin protested.
I don't want a turn.
April wet blanketed all up in this bitch.
Chicken,
Zach teased her.
I think you're stupid for messing around with this, April said heatedly.
It isn't a toy, you know. You don't know anything about it. You don't know what it really does to your body.
I feel fine, I told her, Did I just read Zach as I, by the way?
My real name's Zach, not Dan. My parents weren't cool enough to name me that, jerks.
I feel fine, Zach told her, and pounded his chest with both hands like a gorilla to prove it.
He glanced at the dark mirror.
I'm ready to go back,
even longer. I want to get invisible and go outside and play tricks on people,
Lefty said enthusiastically.
Can I go next, Max? I don't think so.
I was thinking about what April had said. We really were messing around with something that could be dangerous. Something that we didn't know shit about. Max has to go again, Zach said, slapping me hard in the back, nearly sending me sprawling against the mirror to beat my record. He grinned at me. Unless you're chicken too. Squawkity bok bok bukukuku. I'm not chicken, I insisted. I just think you're chicken, Zach accused, laughing scornfully. He started clucking loudly, flopping his arms like a chicken. Coo-coo-doo-ca-ca-ca! Rickety-rickety-roo-roo-roo! Kikity-ca-ca! I got a text message in that process. I'm not chicken, let me go, Lefty pleaded. I can break Zach's record. It's my turn, Aaron insisted. You guys have had all the turns. I haven't gone once yet. Okay, I said with a shrug. You go first, Aaron, then me. I was glad Aaron was so eager to do it. I really didn't feel like getting invisible again just yet. To be honest, I felt very fluttery and nervous, like a girl hoping to be asked for prom. Me next, Lefty insisted. Me next, me next. He started chanting the words over and over. I clamped my hand over his mouth with my clamps. Maybe we should all go downstairs, I suggested. Chicken, Zach teased. You chickening out. Squeakity baka baka boo. I don't know, Zach, I replied honestly. I think. I saw Aaron staring at me. Was that disappointment on her face? Did Aaron think I was a chicken, too? Okay, I said. Go ahead, Aaron. You go, then I'll go, then Lefty. We'll all beat Zach's record. Aaron and Lefty clapped. April groaned and rolled her eyes. Zach grinned. It's no big deal, I told myself. I've done it 3 times already. It's perfectly painless. And if you just stay cool and wait patiently, you can come back the way you were. Does anyone have a watch? Aaron asked. We need to keep time so I know what time to beat. I could see that Aaron was really into this competition. Lefty seemed really excited too. And of course, Zach would compete in anything. Only April was unhappy about the whole thing. She walked silently to the back of the room and sat down on the floor with her back against the wall, her arms folded over her knees. Hey, you're the only one with a watch, Aaron called to April, so you be the timer, okay? April nodded without enthusiasm. Sorry. I apologize sometimes. Sometimes I fuck up and I'm like, fuck you guys, I get drunk, swag. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm genuinely apologizing for screwing up the flow of this book. She raised her wrist and stared down at her watch. Okay, get ready. Aaron took a deep breath and stepped up to the mirror. She closed her eyes, reached up, and tugged the light chain. The light came on with a bright flash, and Aaron disa-fucking-peered. Oh, wow! She cried. This is way cool! How does it feel? April called from behind us, her eyes glancing from the mirror to her watch. I don't feel different at all, Aaron said. What a great way to lose weight! Girls. Always trying to impress boys. 15 seconds, April announced. Lefty's hair suddenly stood straight up in the air. Cut it out, Aaron, he shouted, twisting away from her invisible hands. Franklin, leave Yoda alone. We heard Aaron laugh from somewhere near Lefty. Then we heard her footsteps as she walked out of the room and into the attic. We saw an old coat rise up into the air and dance around. After it dropped back into its carton, we saw an old magazine fly up and its pages appear to flip randomly. This is so much fun, Aaron called to us. The magazine dropped back to the stack. I can't wait to go outside like this and really scare people. 1 minute. April called. She hadn't moved from her sitting position against the wall. Aaron moved around the attic for a while, making things fly and float. Then she returned to the little room to admire herself in the mirror. I'm really invisible, we heard her exclaim excitedly. Just like in a movie or some shit. Yeah, great special effects, I said. 3 minutes, April announced. Aaron continued to enjoy herself until about 4 minutes had passed. Then her voice suddenly changed. She started to sound doubtful, frightened. I don't like this, she said. I feel kind of strange.
April jumped to her feet. Bring her back, she demanded. Hurry.
I hesitated.
Yes, bring me back, Aaron said weakly. But you haven't beaten my record, Zach declared like a douche.
Are you sure?
Yes, please. I don't feel right.
Aaron suddenly sounded far away.
I stepped up to the mirror and pulled the chain. The light clicked off. We waited for Aaron to return.
How do you feel? I asked.
Just weird, she replied. She was standing right next to me, but I still couldn't see her. It took nearly 3 minutes for Aaron to appear again. 3 very tense minutes. When she shimmered back into view, she shook herself like a dog shaking water off after a bath. Then she grinned at us reassuringly.
I'm okay. It was really terrific, except for the last few seconds.
You didn't beat my record, Zach reported happily. You came so close, but you folded just like a girl.
It actually says it this time. I'm not just being a douchebag.
Hey! Aaron gave Zach a hard shove. Stop being such a jerk.
But you only had 15 seconds to go, and you wimped out, Zach told her.
I don't care, Aaron insisted, frowning angrily at him. It was really neat. I'll beat your record next time, Zach.
I'm gonna be the winner, Lefty announced. I'm gonna stay invisible for a whole day. Maybe two.
Whoa! I cried.
That might be dangerous, Lefty.
It's Max's turn next, Zach announced. Unless you want to forfeit.
No way, I said, glancing at Aaron. Reluctantly, I stepped up to the mirror and took a deep breath.
Okay, Zach, say goodbye to your record, I said, trying to sound calm and confident.
I didn't really want to do it, I admitted to myself, but I didn't want to look like a chicken in front of the others.
For one thing, if I did wimp out, I knew that Lefty would only remind me of it 20 or 30 times a day for the rest of my life.
When you're an adult, you don't have to talk to people you don't want to. You can just ignore them.
So I decided to go ahead and do it.
One thing, I said to Zach.
When I called out ready, that means I want to come back. So when I say ready, you pull the light chain as fast as you can, okay?
Gotcha, Zach replied, his expression turning serious.
Don't worry, I'll bring you back instantly. He snapped his fingers.
Like that.
Remember, Max, you've got to beat 5 minutes.
Okay, here it goes, I said, staring at my reflection in the mirror.
I suddenly had a bad feeling about this. A real bad feeling. But I reached up and pulled on the light anyway.
And so concludes part one of Let's Get Invisible by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
Those kids should not do things they have a bad feeling about, am I right? You know? That could go poorly.
Alright, I gotta edit this shit down and take a shower.
You know, while I'm showering, all you have to do is stay spooky, bitches.